Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to another edition of the High School Football Podcast via Spaces. We have a lot better of a signal this time than we did last time. Our apologies for that. Got to get back on track here with the podcast. We had a week off. We had to go to San Francisco. Last week was a disaster with the connection, and we got to get back on track. It's almost like we got punched in the face on the opening drive. We got to come back and kind of calm things down and get ready to go. Want to welcome in my co-host each and every week, Coach Jeff King from Fitness Quest 10, joining us. As always, Jeff, what's going on? How's your Thursday? How's your Thursday being able to watch your San Francisco 49ers?
Well, thanks for having me again, Braden. Pretty good so far. I've had a good week. Like you said, I'm watching this game a little closer than I would like it to be, but I feel pretty good that my Niners will pull through. But like you said, man, it's been a few weeks since we really had a full podcast, so we have a lot of catching up to do in terms of teams and where people or where teams stand currently and what's how we project them moving forward. We're about to get in the league play next week. So yeah, excited to talk about the things that's happened in the last few weeks. So let's get into it.
All right, let's talk a little bit about last week. Biggest game of the week I thought was Helix and Cathedral. Helix ends up beating Cathedral by 14 points, and you know, that game was a lot closer than maybe the score showed. I mean, Cathedral had a 1-point lead, you know, going into the fourth quarter and really, you know, kind of punched Helix in the mouth a little bit, but just kind of ran out of gas. Helix overcame some of the early adversity to cruise on to a 2-touchdown win. And I have to say, you know, obviously seeing it front hand, you know, Helix has a really good football team, and they got a lot of big – they got a line that's – you know, is it the biggest line ever? No, but it's the most experienced line in the county. I was doing their game for the Honor Bowl for broadcasting, and I'm going through, and the last time I did a Helix game was 2021, and so I pulled up my boards when I was updating my spotting boards, and you know, I looked to the depth chart that that Helix sent out, and you know, all the linemen from 2021 were still on the team. They were just seniors now, so that's 3 years varsity experience for the Helix offensive line, which is a big contributor to why they are 5-0, on top of the fact that they have a good quarterback in Rylan Jesse, one of the better quarterbacks in San Diego. Obviously, he's going to Utah State as of right now. We'll see if, you know, maybe somebody comes in and tries to offer him after a good senior year here with Helix, but he's committed to Utah State, if I'm not mistaken. And then they got a good running game. They got good wide receivers and a pretty solid team overall. Is it the best Helix team we've seen in the last 10 years? Probably not, but they're really good. And to be honest with you, Jeff, I mean, after last week and the start of the season they've had with winning some games out of town, I don't think enough people are talking about the Helix Highlanders in comparison to the top two teams we usually talk about.
Yeah, very impressive start to the season for Helix. I mean, their offense has been pretty legit. And, you know, like you said, nice comeback win last week against your Cathedral Dons. And, yeah, I mean, I think they've clearly established themselves as the third team in third best team in the county of San Diego. Interesting. I want to get your take on this. We've talked about Carlsbad and Lincoln being 1-2, and I don't think anybody doubts that. I mean, people will disagree about the order, but they've both been dominant and nothing has changed people's minds about that. But at this juncture of the season, I know you probably haven't seen Lincoln or Carlsbad play firsthand. I know you will later on in the season when Cathedral plays Lincoln. But do you see, based on what you've seen from Helix and what you remember from Carlsbad and Lincoln, is this a team that can beat one of those two teams, not both? I mean, I think we kind of assume, a lot of people are assuming that Carlsbad and Lincoln is headed for another matchup in the open division final, just like last year, and just kind of penciling in. But do you see a scenario where Helix can knock off either one of those two teams?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think, you know, based how it's working out, I mean, they're going to have to play probably both of those teams to win an open division championship, right? I mean, Carlsbad and Lincoln are probably going to get the top two seeds. If not, it'll be you know, 1-3 or whatever with the mix between them, you know, those two and Helix. So you're going to have to beat both of those schools because they're not going to be playing each other in a playoff game. You're going to have to beat both of those schools if you want to go to win an open division championship. Now, if you look at the way things lay out, I think Helix can beat both of them. I think Helix can beat both Lincoln and Carlsbad and win the open division championship. Now, if we look at Cal Preps and kind of look in the numbers a little bit, Carlsbad has the best rating with a 58.2, Lincoln at a 57.7, Helix at number 3 with a 46.2. Cal Preps determines the playoffs. But if you look at the schedule strength, and that's the power rating you get for the schedule that you play, and as of right now, the teams with the top two schedules in San Diego County are Modern Day Chula Vista with a 35.4, obviously playing the best teams in San Diego. And then you got Cathedral at 30.2. And then your next highest right now, at least in relatively the top 15, top 20, is Helix at a 26. Their schedule strength is a 26. They played, and again, these are all numbers of teams in the nation because everybody's ranked in the nation. Helix played the 531st team in the nation at Edison. They beat Red Mountain 670. They beat St. Francis, which is in the thousands. Cathedral really hurts them a little bit with Madison. But their strength of schedule is a lot better than Carlsbad and Lincoln. Now, that being said, Carlsbad and Lincoln does have a win over a team that's better than Helix's best win in Edison. But I think Helix is battle-tested at 5-0. I really think that, you know, they have the opportunity to run the table and take down Carlsbad or Lincoln. Am I going to make them the favorite? No, but I think they can do it. You know, based on the way that they've played so far, I don't think they're really going to get any tester in the Grossmont League aside from Granite, which that's going to be a great game later on in the year. Helix and Granite Hills, we start getting the league play. But if they get through Granite Hills and they beat them by, you know, two touchdowns or more, I think Carlsbad and Lincoln should be weary of Helix. I think they're that good. And I think the biggest factor is the line play because, you know, I've seen Lincoln on tape, and I've seen Carlsbad on TV, but I think Helix's line, as of right now, just based on the limited time that I've watched all three, I think Helix's line would be the difference maker in that. And that's not to say that you know that they're for sure going to be the favorite, but you know, Lincoln and Carlsbad got some good quarterbacks, but game's won in the trenches, Jeff, and Helix got a lot of big boys in the trenches.
Good points there, Braden. I definitely agree with you on that. The fact that they have such an experienced offensive line puts them in a position where they can perhaps take the open division crown. Now, you talked about the schedule. Will that dip down now that they go in the league? Obviously, their league is not going to be nearly as tough as Carlsbad and Lincoln. So will that kind of even out? Like, will Carlsbad and Lincoln get be able to make some ground from a strength of schedule standpoint once league hits?
Yeah, their rating is Helix's rating is just going to automatically go down based on who they play coming up because they got a bye this week. They got West Hills, who they're going to annihilate. They're a D3 school, negative 10.7 rating. That's going to plummet Helix. Grossmont's a negative 24. That's going to plummet Helix. Santana negative 6.8, not good. Granite's going to give them a nice little boost back up. Regardless of win loss, and then Steel Canyon negative 5.5 is just it's really going to hurt their overall rating, and then which eventually will hurt their strength of schedule as well. But you know the only one to me that's going to get a boost in their rating is going to be, you know, Lincoln. I mean, Carlsbad will get a little bit with the Avocado League, and I got to see how they how some of these schools rank. You know, because in the Avocado League this year, Poway's in it. You know, Torrey Pines, Mission Hills, El Camino, La Costa, and of course, Carlsbad. Carlsbad's got Mission Hills next week. They're all relatively the same in terms of like kind of the 20s and, you know, Mission Hills at number 30. So Carlsbad will have a decent rating at the end of the year. But the two teams that are really going to get hurt by league play is Granite Hills and it's Helix, which opens the door for other Avocado League schools, and it also opens the door in the open division for schools like Saints, Cathedral, and Madison, Western League teams that played well or played good teams out of section that also have relatively the same rating, that if one of those schools is able to beat Lincoln, or if those schools, whoever kind of comes in second in the Western League, assuming their only losses to Lincoln, they're going to play their way in, where some of these schools are going to play their way out. Now, head-to-head is a factor. So if Helix and Cathedral, for some reason, finish back-to-back in the standings, Helix winning that game will bump them ahead in terms of seeding. But the door is open for some of those Western League schools if they could go on a run during Western League play. Now, the one school that's got to screw all the schools would be UC, just because their rating overall is not very good. But it's going to be interesting to see how this thing really plays out. The one thing I'll say with the open division, and I don't want to spend too much time on that, because we're going to talk about some other teams here, but in the open division, there hasn't been a repeat champion, and the Avocado League has only won one time, and that was back in 2013 when Mission Hills won the very first ever open division championship. So either Carlsbad wins the first open division championship for the Avocado League since 2013, or Lincoln becomes the first team to win back-to-back. Now, if I'm not mistaken, and I guess this is off the top of my head, I believe Helix has the most open division championship wins, at least off the top of my head, if I can remember correctly. I think they might be tied with Cathedral, or they might have one more than Cathedral. I know they're in like the 3 or 4 range. I'd have to look it up real quick, but you know, that's another major factor. I mean, that's why the saying is Helix is Helix. And even though they had kind of a down year last year, they're right here in the thick of things. And I don't think people are talking about them enough.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on all aspects. They've been very, very impressive. And it's going to be interesting to see how that all shakes out moving forward. But definitely interesting conversation in terms of the open division. Lot to be determined in terms of how everything plays out. We definitely think that Lincoln and Carlsbad are going to be the two teams, but those other two teams there still have to be determined. And, you know, that's why we play games on the field, just because you don't know what exactly is going to happen. So it's going to be interesting to see how if Saints or Cathedral or El Camino or La Costa, any of those teams can jump up into those last two spots.
Yeah, it's going to be a battle. And the thing is everybody, you know, wants to, you know, Granite Hills, I think, is a really good football team. They probably deserve to be there. They're in trouble with their schedule. And that's not as in they're not going to win the games, because they're going to win the games. But, you know, they got Santana. It's the same schedule Helix got. Santana, West Hill, Steel Canyon, and Grossmont. They have to beat Helix if they want to be in the open. I mean, that's just a fact. But you know, they're capped at a certain amount of points. I mean, how the Freeman ratings work, their league schedule is going to kill them. You know, Santana's a D4 school, West Hills is a D3 school, Grossmont's a D3 school, and if those teams lose more, which they will, because they're all going to play each other, you know, Granite Hills is going to be in trouble of making the open division. That they might play their way out, and has nothing to do with them, just because a little bit more of their schedule, which is a lot different. Obviously, this year going with the Freeman rankings over previous years. I do want to mention a couple other, you know, games from last week that kind of stood out to me, and in particular, as I look up some of the scores from last week, I got to say, when watching the PPR, I think Army Navy is a top 10 team in San Diego. I really do. I mean, I watched them play. You know, I've seen the highlights, and I was watching them play. And I was amazed how big they are. They are, Jeff, they are gigantic. I mean, their offensive line and defensive line is freaking huge. And I'm telling you right now, they look bigger than, and I don't know, I mean, I'd have to look up their heights and weights, and they don't have them on max preps. They look bigger than Cathedral's line. They look the same size around Helix. I mean, they look maybe it's just the TV. They look massive, and you wonder why they're 5-0 or 4-0. They are destroying teams that they're obviously going to destroy, because they're way bigger than everybody else. But I watched them on the PPR, and I'm like, there's nobody in D5 that's going to come close to beating them. And they're in the lower D5. They made a new D5 for like kind of the bottom of the D5 teams. So the disservice of this kind of new power rating system is they got a great team this year and they don't get to play up. Army, Navy, I think could beat some of the teams currently in the top 10. That's why I voted them 10 this week.
Well, interesting take there. I have not seen any of Army, Navy, so I can't even give any type of feedback or rebuttal or support that. But the fact that you said their line is so big definitely gives them a major, major advantage, especially at that low of the division. So,
oh, yeah.
Definitely will chime in now and kind of keep my eyes on Army, Navy the rest of the year now that you mentioned that. And the fact that you have them in the top 10, that says a lot. And, you know, study football a lot and, you know, you have your posts on a lot of teams. The fact that you have them kind of creeping in the top 10, it says that something, you know, what they got going on there this year is mighty impressive. So interesting take that you brought with as far as Army, Navy goes.
They're big, man. I mean, I had to rewind and replay it and just be like, that team is huge. And I know, and they kind of teased it on the PPR. They did like their pre-PPR thing that they do with Ruben Pena and Martel. But they were talking about one of the kids. He's a D lineman. He's a D1 prospect. They got like three or four kids that are like D1 prospects. And the thing is interesting about Army Navy. Now, this is usually what the case is. I don't necessarily know if it's this year, but they usually have like a brand new team every year because they get kids from all over the place because it's like it's a school that's kind of like a boarding school. You know, at least that's what it used to be. I don't know if it still is. So sometimes you get really good kids, like really big players, and sometimes you don't. This year it looks like they got a lot of big players. I wanted to give them a shout out. I mean, I think they can hang with some of these top teams. Now, they probably don't have the depth that, you know, the top open division teams have and D1 teams, but I think they'd give a lot of D2 and probably tail end of D1 teams a run for their money. So next time you watch the PPR and Army Navy's on there, you got to pay extra close attention to their game, and we'll see how they do. But they haven't allowed a point all year. They've been obliterating people so far this season, and I would imagine that probably continues throughout the rest of the year. And I looked at their schedule. I mean, they don't really have anybody left on their schedule that's worth being concerned about. If you're Army Navy, I mean, they're running up the rankings. They're 39 in San Diego right now. They're in that Division 5 AA division, but they're 4-0. They've won 55-0, 40-0, 49-0, 49-0, and I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that they're just bigger and badder than everybody else. But we'll see how that plays out for them. Other scores from last week that you know, kind of caught my eye. You know, Modern Day Catholic gets back in the winning ways. They beat a pretty solid Point Loma team, 30-13. Their schedule's been incredibly difficult throughout the entire year, and they get a little bit of reprieve in playing Point Loma, but Point Loma's still a good football team. So a good win for John Joyner and company at Modern Day Catholic. Saints edged out a victory over Newport Harbor. Always great to beat a team out of town. They get a W, 32-30. Lincoln crushed Cajon. I saw the social media post. Cajon was talking smack to Lincoln. I thought that was a terrible idea by them. Lincoln just took them to the woodshed, beat them 34-0. They are also undefeated on the season. The other one I wanted to point out, you know, that took my eye, Bishops with a big upset over Mount Miguel, Jeff. Bishops wins 24-13 over Mount Miguel. That was one of the games I had to stop on the PPR and rewatch. I couldn't believe it, but a good hard-fought game by Bishops, and Mount Miguel suffers their first loss.
Yeah, it caught my eye too. Remember last week, you know, when we kind of was going through the podcast and had technical difficulties, but what we talked about was Mount Miguel and the prospects of them possibly going undefeated in the playoffs just based off the schedule. And lo and behold, the Mighty Mighty Bishops comes through and is able to slow down Costa V's offense, something that no team has been able to do. So impressive victory there by Bishops. I'm curious to see how Mount Miguel bounces back after facing some adversity in their first loss. And I'm sure Coach V will have his team ready this week and playing. But yeah, that definitely caught my eye. You know, El Camino putting up 69 against Mount Carmel. I mean, that's impressive no matter how you slice it. And Del Norte, you know, Nick Barnett, another big quality victory over a Poway squad, 28-20. So Del Norte off to a solid start to the season. So that those are the couple games that caught my eye.
If I'm not mistaken, I got to go to Partleton Sports. You ever checked out Partleton Sports before?
I have not.
That's pretty cool. So Partleton Sports, PartletonSports.com. I think it's run by the old Chargers PR guy. I think his name's Rick Smith, if I'm not mistaken.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who actually lives in Scripps Ranch, Jeff. He runs this website. It's called Partleton Sports. It's San Diego Prep Sports History. It has every season since the beginning of time for San Diego high school football, year by year or team by team schedule. So you could look up any team from any year and see how their schedule was, you know, and how they did in that schedule, which is pretty cool. So if you played high school football in San Diego and you want to go see, you know, if you can't remember what the year was, or if one of your buddies said, yeah, we went undefeated that year, you could pull it up and really see and kind of ask some of your friends or whatever, or buddies, you know, that played high school football in San Diego. Like, do you remember this game where you guys beat Kearney 34-14? It's all on there, which is kind of cool. They don't have the stats, but they have the final scores. It's a pretty good website, but I'm going on it right now because I want to check. And I think Coach Barnett said when Del Norte beat Poway, it's the first time they ever beat Poway in their history. And obviously a brand new school started in 2010. And I'm looking through right now to see if I can find it. But I encourage all you high school football fans out there, if you haven't checked out Partleton Sports, go check it out. It's a pretty cool website if you're really into San Diego high school football in particular. Their overall history, 2016, first year Del Norte played Poway. They lost 51-6, lost 49-7 in 2017, lost 20-0 in 2018, played Poway in 2019, lost 35-0. Lost 54-17 in 2020, lost 28-14 in 2021, lost 51-20 in 2022, wow. And this year, for the first time in Del Norte history, Nick Barnett and company upset Poway for Del Norte's first win over, you could arguably say, the flagship program in the Palomar League, or if you will, really the Poway Unified School District that has so many of those schools in there with Mount Carmel and Westview and Del Norte, Rancho Bernardo and Poway. That's a big win for Nick Barnett and company. It kind of gives me some, you know, some flashbacks, and I'm saying the Poway kids did this, but you know, for a long time when LCC opened up, Torrey Pines would beat him each and every year, to the point Torrey Pines had a t-shirt that said never means never. And LCC, you know, obviously kicked that bud, you know, a while back, but you know, I kind of feel like that. If you're Del Norte, brand new school, kind of same deal in the same district, you know, it's one of those schools that, you know, a lot of those kids kind of go all the different place when it comes to football. But in other sports, that's a big marquee victory for Del Norte. That's a program. That's a big program win for Del Norte as they knock off Poway last week.
We talked about it at the beginning of the year. You know, them and the Rancho Bernardo with Coach Willow. Interesting to see how that their culture, their experience will allow them to turn that culture around. And you definitely see it with Del Norte. And this win will definitely continue that. You know, Rancho Bernardo's been solid as well. But again, having coaches who have been there, who know what it takes to win at the highest level, and being able to, I think, more importantly than that, is be able to relate to the kids, you know, and obviously they know that, you know, Barnett played and professionally, but being able to convey that to the kids is the biggest thing, because if you're not able to convey it to the high school kids, it doesn't really matter. So understanding how to win, but being able to show that to the kids and the kids buying in. And so it's great to see that happening there at Del Norte.
And Del Norte, as we're getting ready to start league play here, because Poway's not in their league this year. Poway got the upgrade, you know, and it's funny they talk about, like, they want to think about doing some regulation a relegation and kind of movement in college football. San Diego High School football does that with leagues where, you know, every kind of section of the county, they got the North County group, you got the city schools, you got East County, and you got the South Bay. They have all their different, you know, relegation when it comes to their teams, where, you know, the top division in the South Bay is the Metro Mesa division, or at least it used to be. Top division, or sorry, league in the city schools is the Western League. Top league out in East County is Grossmont Hills League, and the top league in the North County is the Avocado League. So Poway got to jump up to the Avocado League. So Del Norte beating an Avocado League school is pretty impressive, even though it's in a traditional league rival for Del Norte, for Poway being in the Palomar League, which is the second best league up there in North County. But if you look at the Palomar League, Jeff, and I'll kind of go through the numbers for you, you know, Del Norte 4-1 has the best record to start the year in that league, followed by Fallbrook, Mount Carmel, San Marcos, and Rancho Bernardo all at 3-2. Ramona at the tail end at 2-2. But the power rating as well, Del Norte is at 20.1 on the power rating scale. Next highest is Rancho Bernardo at number 9. So you might be seeing two coaches in their first year, two former NFL players, really playing for a league championship against each other as they enter league play as the two favorites based on the CalPrep rating system.
Yeah, good stuff there. Good stuff. And, yeah, excited to see what both those programs, not only this year, but just moving forward, can they consistently be top 15, top 10, even maybe eventually top 5 teams in the county. I'm thinking both coaches, that's their aspirations and goals for both schools. So exciting times having those two coaches back in San Diego and leading young men.
That's kind of a wrap for last week. You know, this week put in my top 10, from week 5 top 10 in the writers poll. I still got Carlsbad number 1. I still think they're the best team. You know, I've had some, you know, people say, like, well, Lincoln's schedule's tougher. I mean, it is a little bit tougher as of right now. They got a 17.3. It's tougher than Carlsbad's. You know, but Carlsbad got a big win last week against Castile. It's their best win of the year at number 415. I think a big tester, you know, for Carl's, or comparison between Carlsbad and Lincoln, obviously. You look at the modern day game, that's the best way you could see it. Carlsbad beat him 48-14. Lincoln beat him 54-19, kind of a similar result. Coming up later, Lincoln will play Inglewood, if I'm not mistaken. That might actually be this weekend, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, it is. They play Inglewood this weekend, so we'll see how Lincoln does against Inglewood. And again, it's still kind of comparing apples and oranges. But I got Carlsbad number 1. I mean, I still got him number 1. I'm going to keep him there. I think Lincoln is number 2. I got Helix number 3. All three of those teams are 5-0. I think all three of those teams are the top 3 in the county. I got Granite 4-0. I got Mission Hills 5-3-1. El Camino 6-3-1. Madison 7-2-2. LCC at 8-4-1. St. Augustine 9-3-2. And then I told you, I think Army Navy could be a top 10 team in the county. As crazy as that sounds, I think a lot of it has to do with their line. So I got them at number 10 for the time being. We'll see how that finishes up for the rest of the year. But that's my top 10 this week: Carlsbad, Lincoln, Helix, Granite, Mission Hills, El Camino, Madison, LCC, St. Augustine, and Army Navy.
Yeah, and not too much disagreement there. I don't have, obviously, Army Navy just because I just haven't seen them, but now they're on my radar, so I would not put them there. But everyone, other 9, I agree with you wholeheartedly about the ratings and rankings. So good stuff there, Braden.
Yeah, I mean, Army Navy is kind of a reach pick for me, but, you know, there hasn't been really too many teams outside the top 10 that have really knocked my socks off. I think Del Norte is probably going to work its way close there. According to Cal Preps, you know, teams outside the top 10 are Del Norte, Torrey, you know, Modern Day with another win, I think could play themselves in there with the schedule they had. You know, Poway's looked okay. Rancho Bernardo is number 15, and then you start going down the list. But, you know, I gave Army Navy some recognition. We'll see how they do moving forward. Games this weekend should be some good ones. I'm going to Vegas this weekend with the Cathedral Catholic Dons. So I'll be out of section, out of state. Be a long day for me tomorrow. Got to get up, get to work. And then after work, I'm going to jump on a plane straight to Las Vegas. The team's getting there before me. So before people start freaking out going, you guys are flying at 3 o'clock for a 7 o'clock game. And I'm going to go straight there. And then I'm going to stay there for the weekend and kind of get some R&R in the middle of the season as we get ready for league play. So that's where I'll be. Liberty's hosting Cathedral. Liberty's very good. That's going to be a tough battle for the Dons. We'll see how they do. Other important games, as I kind of scroll through the list here, I'll start throwing some at you. You know, Madison Granite Hills, I think, might be arguably the game of the week this week. Madison 2-3 on the season. You know, obviously they lost that Honor Bowl game that was tough. They've lost to, you know, to Helix last week or 2 weeks ago, and you know, kind of reeling right now at 2-2, but looking to bounce back, and no better place to bounce back than playing against Granite Hills.
Huge opportunity for Madison to kind of ride the ship, so to speak. They've had a really, really challenging schedule, and you know, they played some very good teams, so therefore the 2-3 record. But a win against Granite Hills would be huge for them going into league play. I'm not sure they can pull it off, but definitely eager to see how well they come out, you know, they and play. Obviously, Granite Hills, like you said, their schedule is not going to do them any favors, so they need the win as well, just from a power rating standpoint. So for both teams, it's a big game for them, and they can use that to kind of help them, you know, moving forward during the season. But so I'm curious to see, because there's, like I said, both teams need this win from a playoff standpoint in positioning.
I want to correct them. I mean, Max Preps has them as a 2-3 on the year. They're 2-2. They've only played four games. They got them losing to Helix twice back to back days. So that's why I don't like Max Preps. I'll stick to the Cal Prep stuff. That game in particular, if I could find it on the sheet here, Madison and Granite Hills projected and percent chance to win. They give Granite Hills an 84% chance of victory, and they got Granite Hills beating Madison 35-20. So Granite's favored by 15 this week, Jeff. I got Granite, and I think they cover the 15 points.
Ooh, man, so over two touchdowns. I'm going to say Madison is able to – so you're saying Granite Hill covers the 15. That's what you're saying?
Yeah, I got Granite minus 15. Yeah.
I think Madison can sneak in and lose by 14. So I'm gonna
make it close.
Mega close. I think they can get one late, so make it two touchdown victory by Granite, but not no cover.
Jeff's taking the points this week with Madison. Other games that are notable, as I kind of go down the list here. That's the one big ranked matchup, if you will. We got some out of town games also. We have two top 25 in the county games, or two teams that are in the top 25 in the county battling it out. It's a rivalry game. It's Oceanside. It's El Camino. They're not in the same league this year for the first time in a long time. Oceanside got bumped down to a different league. El Camino, I think, is still in the Avocado League, if I'm not mistaken. So it's a non-league game, rivalry game. Love that coaches are still doing that. El Camino and Oceanside. According to Cal Preps, Jeff, as I take a look at this one, they got El Camino as an 86% chance of winning. They got them winning 35-19 over Oceanside. I think El Camino wins. I think they cover that point differential there of 16 points, and I'll take the Wildcats over the Pirates.
I'm with you, man. Give me the Wildcats to roll again, just like last week. I don't think it will be 69-7 rolling, but I think they get the job done. I think they can win by three touchdowns here.
Other important games out there, other notable games with teams relatively close to being ranked. St. Augustine's playing Modern Day this weekend. Modern Day 1-3 on the year, but they have played a gauntlet of the schedule. Obviously, they've had to play the top teams in San Diego, right? I mean, they started the season with Cathedral. They had to play Carlsbad. They had to play Lincoln. You know, they just got a win against Point Loma, and now they're playing another top 10 team in St. Augustine. Games down in the South Bay. What does Modern Day have to do to try to upset Saints this weekend?
Well, it looks like last week they finally played some defense. They've been really struggling on the defensive side of the football. And so I think defensively, I think they need to help out their young quarterback. You know, he's talented, but he's young, and this is his first year at the helm of the varsity level. I mean, you go from, you know, Dominic Nankill, who's now at USD, you know, actually playing and actually starting the last couple of games. Tons of experience there to you know, what they have now. And very talented, but again, inexperienced. So, and he's gotten experience early in the season. So I think if defensively they can show up, maybe create some turnovers and give them a Modern Day a short field. You know, hopefully their running back McMillan can help out and have a breakout game. He's yet to do that. I think they have a chance. I still think Saints will win this game. I'm not sure with Modern Day winning last week, kind of solves everything. I still think they have some flaws, and I think again, Saints have. You know, I've been pretty high on Saints as far as the talent they have. I think they go and beat Modern Day.
I think so, too. They're favored to win 35-22 and 80% chance of winning, according to Cal Preps. That's a 13-point spread in terms of favorite. I got Saints, and I think they cover the 13 points. Other non-league games that you want to check out, I'm trying to find real quick some ones that are pretty close here in terms of overall percentages. One that sticks out, you know, Patrick Henry and Escondido battling it out. Patrick Henry's projected to win 35-28. That's a pretty close game to keep an eye on for. Other games on the list here that are pretty close. Otay Ranch over Olympian, potentially. They got that game projected 26-21 on Cal Preps. And aside from that, that's kind of the closer ones in non-league play. We do have some intersectional games. Jeff, for the first time this year, Eastlake is favored to win a football game. They're favored over Hammond Central. Got to bring up your Eastlake Titans. Off to an 0-5 start. Oh. Tough start to the year. They're projected to beat Hammond Central out of Hammond, Indiana, 21-12. They're a 73% chance of winning over Hammond Central. I think they get their first win of the year on Friday, Jeff.
I also, because I can't come on another podcast talking about the winless Titans of Eastlake. That's very depressing on my side. Hey, look, man, they've had a lot of turmoil, just players leaving, you know, coaching situation's been uneasy, they've had injuries. It's been really a mess down there. So I'm hoping they do win. They do need some type of positive thing to happen, you know, with them. So obviously win would help that. Wouldn't cure all, and they would still have a long season to go. But having a win in the win column would go a long way for them because they have struggled. So I'm crossing fingers, Braden. I hope they get the W, but I'm not super confident.
I hope so too. They're going at Indiana, and it says Hammond, Indiana. They're on the road, so that'd be nice for San Diego High School football to go out there and get a win. They're projected to win. Hammond Central is 4-1 this year. So maybe the Eastlake Titans can play spoiler to their season.
Let's hope.
That's one of the intersection games. Cathedral at Liberty. Liberty's got a projected chance of winning by 88%. 34-14 is a projected final, according to Cal Preps. That's going to be a tough battle for the Dons. Liberty is a team that has beaten St. Louis out of Hawaii, which is one of the best teams out of Hawaii. They played St. John Bosco tough at the beginning part of their game when they played St. John Bosco to start the season. Bosco ended up winning that game, I think, by 3 touchdowns. They just played Bishop Gorman. You know, obviously, their in-state rival. Liberty's the second-best team in Nevada year in and year out. And it's going to be a tough battle for the Dons. Dons have been kind of struggling to slow teams down, you know, from their defensive side of the ball. And we'll see how they do because Liberty is big, they're physical, and they like to pound the rock. So that's going to be an uphill battle for the Dons coming up tomorrow. Other intersectional games, Lincoln is hosting Englewood. Lincoln's projected to win by more than 99%. They're projected 44-7 victory over Englewood. I think they handle business against Englewood just like Carlsbad did. I could see that one kind of teetering on a blowout, and we'll see how that game plays. Jeff, we do have some league games. Scripps Ranch is playing Crawford for the first City League game of the year. Scripps Ranch is projected to win 28-3. I think Marlon Gardner and company get the victory. I think they cover.
Agreed. They've had a nice, solid start to the season. Scripps has. You know, they beat. You know, did they beat La Jolla, or they lost La Jolla?
I think they. They lost. But they
and then they did lose to they did. Yes, but then they lost to the Battle of I-15 in Mira Mesa. They did not play well last week. Now that I think about it, I think they lost 17-7.
They did. They lost 17-7, correct.
Yeah,
they lost 17-15 to La Jolla and lost 17-7 to Mira Mesa. So two close losses.
Yeah, hopefully they can kind of bounce back. Seems like their offense is in kind of in a little rut. And but yeah, I agree. I think they can kind of bounce back against Crawford and get back in the win column.
Now, Army Navy is playing at La Jolla Country Day at 7 o'clock for the first Coastal League game. I got Army Navy in my top 10. I think they are good enough to win. Now, they're trying to make up a lot of ground in the Cal Preps rating system based off of last year. So they are actually the underdog in this game against La Jolla Country Day. La Jolla Country Day is projected to win 34-27, a 7-point favor for the La Jolla Country Day Tories. I like Army-Navy in this game, and this will be the big tester, I think, for Army-Navy this season, and we'll see if they're for real or not. I looked at their line. I think they're massive, but we'll see when rubber hits the road what Army-Navy's got in store. I'm a big Army-Navy believer. I'm the leader of their Marching and Chowder Society. But this will be their toughest opponent yet. This is the toughest opponent on their schedule and their toughest opponent so far this year.
I'm excited to follow them now. You got me on – you have them on my radar, so I'm going to look closely at the PPR and see what they do against their toughest test of the season thus far.
Yeah, La Jolla Country Day comes into the game 4-1. They lost that game to Chula Vista as a red line loss, which means it's a kind of a surprising loss. Any of the blue line victories on Cal Preps are big time upsets for your team. If you lose a game and it's highlighted in red, that's a team that you shouldn't have lost to, according to Cal Preps. That should be a good one as well. Trying to finish up here with some of the game picks for this week. Those were the league games in the Pacific Division. It's Maranatha Christian and Mountain Empire. That's the last league game that we'll see, aside from the one that happened tonight where Francis Parker played Santa Fe Christian in the Coastal League. We had a couple of games tonight. Should be a fun weekend of high school football. Jeff, any closing remarks on this week's podcast?
Well, speaking of football, what a weekend of college football. We have, I don't know how many marquee games. I would say about 5 or 6 outside of SMU and TCU, because you know you have a rooting interest in that, the good old Iron Skillet. What matchup are you looking forward to? Is it the Fighting Deion Sanders versus Oregon? Or
the Fighting
are you looking
Deion
somewhere?
Sanders?
Yeah, or are you looking somewhere else in the region?
I don't think that game's going to be as close. I think Oregon should be able to throttle those guys. But you never know with Deion, Coach Prime. We picked our games today for the weekend when I do the thing with Coach. And Skylar's out of town, so didn't get to hear from Skylar. But she'll send her picks in when she wakes up in Italy. She's on vacation. But some games I find very intriguing. You know, I got Florida State as an upset alert. Going against Clemson, they're a 2-point favorite against Clemson on the road. They're going to Death Valley. I think that might be a trap for them. I think Clemson might surprise some people. Everybody wanted to write them off. They lost to Duke. Duke's still in the top 25. But, you know, Clemson, they have a brand new offensive coordinator in Garrett Riley, who was the TCU offensive coordinator last year. New quarterback, kind of new everything. Game one's always interesting. Weird things happen. So I think Clemson surprises people. I think they could beat Florida State this weekend. That's one of the games we've picked. I'm actually, you know, I'm a Big 12 honk now after spending time in the Big 12. BYU at Kansas is an intriguing game. Kansas is favored by 9.5, Jeff, and I don't understand why that is. I mean, BYU went down to Fayetteville last week and beat Arkansas in the SEC. Kansas struggled, and I mean struggled mightily in Reno, Nevada against the Nevada Wolfpack. They left there with a 7-point victory, but Idaho kicked Nevada's ass a couple weeks ago. They're an FCS program, so I like BYU plus 9.5. I think they end up winning that game. I think that one's intriguing. UCLA at Utah, I think, is going to be okay. I think Utah's probably going to beat them soundly. Ole Miss Alabama's a great game. How does Alabama bounce back after, even though they won, an embarrassing kind of game for them, competing against USF and making that game close? I mean, by Alabama standards, that's embarrassing. I like Oregon State versus the Washington State fighting Matt Perez's. I think that will be a fun game to watch at 4 o'clock on Fox. And then the other game that I like is Ohio State at Notre Dame. That game should be pretty good as well. I think the Baylor Bears might have Texas in an upset special too. They're 15-point dogs, but I think Baylor's a little bit better than people are giving them credit for. I don't think they're like a top contender in the Big 12, but you know, Texas is. Until Texas can really start running the table, they're good for a couple of Big 12 losses and a letdown after an important win. They almost had that letdown last week against Wyoming. But those are just some of the college games, Jeff. There's a ton of games this weekend that are going to be great. It's going to be a great football weekend with high school and college football.
Yeah, and the great thing about that for Saturday, they're all spread out throughout the day. So it's not like it's four games in one time slot. I mean, you got, you know, the Colorado – Oregon game early, Florida State, Clemson early, and then just kind of trickle down the line. So it's exciting. And I think it culminates with, is Ohio State, Notre Dame, is that the primetime game? If I'm not mistaken?
Well, they're on NBC because it's the Notre Dame deal. The primetime, like the ABC or ESPN one you're talking about?
Yeah.
Primetime ABC is Texas and Baylor.
Interesting. I'm with you on that with Baylor. I know Texas, you know, they're getting a lot of love, especially after, you know, beating Alabama and Tuscaloosa, but they're laying in a lot of points. And so I think Baylor can keep it close. I don't expect them to beat Texas, but I think they can stay within the number. And I think Notre Dame beats Ohio State out.
They haven't beat Ohio State in like 100 years.
Yeah, well,
it's like close to 100 years.
that's insane. I mean, that is nuts. And I'm just going off of that because I like their quarterback better. I like Hartman better than McLeod. Now, McLeod did finally show something last week, and you know how much of a stud, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. is. But I just, you know, going on the road, hostile environment, with Notre Dame, the better quarterback. So, I, you know, give me the points with Notre Dame there, buddy.
I'm going to ask you a question. Tell me which is more surprising to you between the two things I'm about
Deion.
To say. No, that's not. What's more surprising to you? That Notre Dame has not beat Ohio State since 1936. When they won 7-2 in South Bend, or the fact that Notre Dame and Ohio State have only played each other 7 times in their history.
Wow.
They've only played each other seven times.
I mean, you have two historical colleges only playing 7 times in over 100 years. That's baffling to me. Honestly baffling to me. Like, you would think that'd be like an every third year type of thing, but wow, I didn't know that. I mean, when you think about it, just in my lifetime, I can't really think of a Notre Dame Ohio State game. When was the last time they played? You have that on top of your head? Are you looking at that?
It was last year in Columbus.
But prior to that,
obviously, they did like a home and home.
Yeah.
Before that,
it's been a while.
But before that, it was 2 bowl games. Both in Arizona, surprisingly enough. They played in the Fiesta Bowl twice. 2016, they played in the Fiesta Bowl.
Ohio State won that game, right?
Yeah, they won both of those games. And yeah. Ohio State's on a 5-game winning streak dating back to 1995. But they played in 2016 in a bowl game, 2006 in a bowl game. They played 95 and 96 in home and homes that Ohio State won. And then before that, they hadn't played since Halloween in 1936. Wow. And then November 2nd, 1935, Notre Dame won both of those games, 7-2 and 18-13.
Wow. Man, that's insane. This is pretty historic. That is insane.
And you wonder why all these conferences got like shelled by TV companies. They don't play anybody. They got to play better. I mean, all these games are like, you know, this one's obviously not a conference game because Notre Dame's not a conference, but all these big games we got this weekend, they're conference games. They're like, TV's basically saying, if you guys don't schedule anybody, we will schedule it for you by making you guys play in the same league.
Yeah.
They have. Indeed, have you ever checked out the website Winsipedia?
No.
Checked out the website Winsipedia? Was that the... Winsipedia is a great website.
I have not.
I pulled the information. You can compare the two teams. You can pick two college teams, right? You can compare the two, and then they have, like, you know, their records against each other, and they compare the all-time records and national championships, and they got every single game on there. It's pretty funny. You see some really damning things on there, but... You know, this week they got some of the marquee matchups. Alabama has only lost to Ole Miss 10 times ever.
Jeez.
They're 54-10-2. 54-10-2 Alabama is over Ole Miss. I mean, that to me is just insane. And we talk about, like, winning streaks. Alabama has beaten Ole Miss 7 straight times. And they've beaten Ole Miss every year, but twice, dating back to 2004.
Wow.
And one of those games...
That's crazy.
One of those games, Mississippi vacated the game. That's
wow.
Nuts. The most damn... Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you're good.
No, it's off topic. Go ahead. Finish the...
Oh, okay. No, I was saying Ole Miss has a good shot this year. I mean, you look at Alabama, just offense does not look good. So I'm not saying Ole Miss is going to win, but this is probably as good a shot they've had in recent years in terms of actually beating Alabama just because of the struggles Alabama's had on the offensive side of the ball. Their offensive line is not really gelled yet. You know, Lane Kiffin's going to be out for blood and be highly motivated to kind of give it to St. Nick. So I'm excited for that game. I think Ole Miss covers, personally. Now, do they win? I think Bama finds a way just because Bama and their culture, and it's a conference game. But I think it's within the number.
So Winsipedia is kind of like the Partleton sports website that I was talking about. The most glaring thing, the one I find it funny every year, is they talk about always, like, you know, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. It's Bedlam, right? It's the Bedlam rivalry. It's such a great rivalry. It's a Bedlam rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
My argument is it's not even a rivalry. And if you look
because
at
the Oklahoma whips the crap out of them every year.
If you look at the thing, guess if you don't already know, guess off the top of your head, like, you know, just to get it, take a wild guess. What do you think Oklahoma's winning percentage is against Oklahoma State?
9-2-3.
No, it's less than that, but you're on the right track.
808.
So you're pretty close there. They are 91-19-7 against Oklahoma State all time.
Well,
91-19.
But isn't it just automatic rivalry because of the location and geographics?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just that you're just kind of grandfathered in, I guess, so to speak, no matter how dominant or lopsided it is. I guess it'd be the same with UCLA, USC. And now that's obviously been a lot closer over the years, and there's been pendulum swings. UCLA dominant for a while, then USC, and so forth and so forth. But it's not like a 90-10 like we have here, or 80-20 like we have here in Oklahoma State. But yeah, that's, you would think there would be a period of time where the pendulum would swing a little towards the Cowboys, but not even with the Fighting Mike Gundys, they haven't been able to do anything with Boomer Sooner. So that's bad.
three of those 19 wins have come since 2011.
Wow.
I mean, it's just brutal looking at it. And you go through, it's like a lot of these wins for Oklahoma State were back-to-back years where they were able to get some wins. I mean, you know, 1929 to 1934 must be the years that Oklahoma just doesn't talk about their football program, because it's tie 7-7 against Oklahoma State, 7-0 loss, tie 0-0, 7-0 loss, 13-0 loss, tied 0-0. Yeah, but anyway, you know, I don't need ESPN showing it down my throat about how great this rivalry is when it's not really a rivalry at all. So
I think we need to define what rivalry is, because some people have the wrong idea of it. But I'm with you on that, buddy.
Once we get to league play for high school, we can start breaking down the rivalries. What makes a good rivalry? It could be a nice little topic of discussion. Thanks to all of you for joining us. We're going to put a wrap on this high school football podcast. If you missed any of it, be sure to check it out on our website, 97throughthefan.sd.com. We'll have that fully posted tomorrow morning. The Spaces recording stays up, so if you missed any of it, you can come back and re-listen to it. Should be a great weekend of high school, college, and pro football. So get out there and enjoy it. You haven't been to a high school game this year, go out and see one. Highly recommend it. High school football in San Diego is always fun.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Martin winning last week kind of solves everything. I still think they have some flaws, and I think, again, Saints have, you know, I've been pretty high on Saints as far as the talent they have. I think they go and beat Modern Day.
I think so, too. They're favored to win 35-22 and 80% chance of winning, according to Cal Preps. That's a 13-point spread in terms of favorite. I got Saints, and I think they cover the 13 points. Other non-league games that you want to check out. I'm trying to find real quick some ones that are pretty close here in terms of overall percentages. One that sticks out, you know, Patrick Henry and Escondido battling it out. Patrick Henry's projected to win 35-28. That's a pretty close game to keep an eye on for. Other games on the list here that are pretty close. Otay Ranch over Olympian, potentially. They got that game projected 26-21 on Cal Preps. And aside from that, that's kind of the closer ones in non-league play. We do have some intersectional games. Jeff, for the first time this year, Eastlake is favored to win a football game. They're favored over Hammond Central. Got to bring up your Eastlake Titans. Off to an 0-5 start. Whoa. Tough start to the year. They're projected to beat Hammond Central out of Hammond, Indiana, 21-12. They're a 73% chance of winning over Hammond Central. I think they get their first win of the year on Friday, Jeff.
I hope so, because I can't come on another podcast talking about the winless Titans of Eastlake. That's very depressing on my side. Hey, look, man, they've had a lot of turmoil, just players leaving, you know, coaching situation's been uneasy, they've had injuries. It's been a mess down there. So I'm hoping they do win. They do need some type of positive thing to happen, you know, with them. So obviously, win would help that. Wouldn't cure all, and they would still have a long season to go. But having a win and the win column would go a long way for them, because they have struggled. So I'm crossing fingers, Braden. I hope they get the W. But I'm not super confident.
I hope so too. They're going at Indiana. It says Hammond, Indiana. They're on the road, so that'd be nice for San Diego High School football to go out there and get a win. They're projected to win. Hammond Central is 4-1 this year. So maybe the Eastlake Titans can play spoiler to their season.
Let's hope.
That's one of the intersection games. Cathedral at Liberty. Liberty's got a projected chance of winning by 88%. 34-14 is a projected final, according to Cal Preps. That's going to be a tough battle for the Dons. Liberty is a team that has beaten St. Louis out of Hawaii which is one of the best teams out of Hawaii. They played St. John Bosco tough at the beginning part of their game when they played St. John Bosco to start the season. Bosco ended up winning that game, I think, by 3 touchdowns. They just played Bishop Gorman. You know, obviously, their in-state rival, Liberty's the second best team in Nevada year in and year out, and it's going to be a tough. It's going to be a tough battle for the Dons. Dons have been kind of struggling to slow teams down, you know, from their defensive side of the ball, and we'll see how they do because Liberty's big, they're physical, and they like to pound the rock. So that's going to be an uphill battle for the Dons coming up tomorrow. Other intersectional games, Lincoln is hosting Englewood. Lincoln's projected to win by more than 99%. They're projected 44-7 victory over Englewood. I think they handle business against Englewood just like Carlsbad did. I could see that one kind of teetering on a blowout, and we'll see how that game plays. Jeff, we do have some league games. Scripps Ranch is playing Crawford for the first City League game of the year. Scripps Ranch is projected to win 28-3. I think Marlon Gardner and company get the victory. I think they cover.
Agreed. They've had a nice, solid start to the season. Scripps has. You know, they beat. You know, did they beat La Jolla, or they lost La Jolla?
I think they lost La Jolla. But they
and then they did lose Mel to Carmel. They did. Yes, but then they lost to the Battle of I-15 in Miramar. They did not play well. Last week. Now that I think about it, I think they lost 17-7.
They did. They lost 17-7, correct. Yeah, they lost 17-15 to La Jolla and lost 17-7 to Mira Mesa. So two close losses.
Yeah, hopefully they can kind of bounce back. Seems like their offense is in kind of in a little rut. And but, yeah, I agree. I think they can kind of bounce back against Crawford and get back in the win column.
Now, Army-Navy is playing at La Jolla Country Day at 7 o'clock. For the first Coastal League game. I got Army-Navy in my top 10. I think they are good enough to win. Now, they're trying to make up a lot of ground in the CalPreps rating system based off of last year. So they're actually the underdog in this game against La Jolla Country Day. La Jolla Country Day is projected to win 34-27, a 7-point favor for the La Jolla Country Day Tories. I like Army-Navy in this game, and this will be the big tester, I think, for Army-Navy this season, and we'll see if they're for real or not. I looked at their line. I think they're massive, but we'll see when rubber hits the road what Army-Navy's got in store. I'm a big Army-Navy believer. I'm the leader of their Marching and Chowder Society, but this will be their toughest opponent yet. This is the toughest opponent on their schedule and their toughest opponent so far this year.
I'm excited to follow them now. You have them on my radar, so I'm going to look closely at the PPR and see what they do their toughest test of the season thus far.
Yeah, La Jolla Country Day comes into the game 4-1. They lost that game to Chula Vista as a red line loss, which means it's a kind of a surprising loss. Any of the blue line victories on Cal Preps are big time upsets for your team. If you lose a game and it's highlighted in red, that's a team that you shouldn't have lost to, according to Cal Preps. That should be a good one as well. Trying to finish up here with some of the game picks for this week. Those were the league games. In the Pacific Division, it's Maranatha Christian and Mountain Empire. That's the last league game that we'll see, aside from the one that happened tonight where Francis Parker played Santa Fe Christian. In the Coastal League, we had a couple of games tonight. Should be a fun weekend of high school football. Jeff, any closing remarks on this week's podcast?
Well, speaking of football, what a weekend of college football. We have, I don't know how many marquee games. I would say about 5 or 6 outside of SMU and TCU, because you know you have a rooting interest in that, the good old Iron Skillet. What matchup are you looking forward to? Is it the Fighting Deion Sanders versus Oregon, or
the Fighting
are you looking
Deion
somewhere?
Sanders?
Yeah, or are you looking somewhere else in the region?
I don't think that game's going to be as close. I think Oregon should be able to throttle those guys, but you never know with Deion, Coach Prime. We picked our games today for the weekend when I do the thing with Coach, and Skylar's out of town, so didn't get to hear from Skylar, but she'll send her picks in when she wakes up in Italy. She's on vacation. But some games I find very intriguing. You know, I got Florida State as an upset alert going against Clemson. They're a 2-point favorite against Clemson on the road. They're going to Death Valley. I think that might be a trap for them. I think Clemson might surprise some people. Everybody wanted to write them off. They lost to Duke. Duke's still in the top 25. But, you know, Clemson, they have a brand new offensive coordinator in Garrett Riley, who was the TCU offensive coordinator last year. New quarterback, kind of new everything. Game one's always interesting. Weird things happen. So I think Clemson surprises people. I think they could beat Florida State this weekend. That's one of the games we picked. I'm actually, you know, I'm a Big 12 honk now after spending time in the Big 12. BYU at Kansas is an intriguing game. Kansas is favored by 9.5, Jeff, and I don't understand why that is. I mean, BYU went down to Fayetteville last week and beat Arkansas in the SEC. Kansas struggled, and I mean struggled mightily in Reno, Nevada against the Nevada Wolfpack. They left there with a 7-point victory, but Idaho kicked Nevada's ass a couple weeks ago. They're an FCS program. So I like BYU plus 9.5. I think they end up winning that game. I think that one's intriguing. UCLA at Utah, I think, is going to be okay. I think Utah's probably going to beat them soundly. Ole Miss Alabama's a great game. How does Alabama bounce back after, even though they won an embarrassing kind of game for them, competing against USF and making that game close? I mean, by Alabama standards, that's embarrassing. I like Oregon State versus the Washington State fighting Matt Perez's. I think that will be a fun game to watch at 4 o'clock on Fox. And then the other game that I like is Ohio State at Notre Dame. That game should be pretty good as well. I think the Baylor Bears might have Texas in an upset special too. They're 15-point dogs, but I think Baylor's a little bit better than people are giving them credit for. I don't think they're like a top contender in the Big 12, but you know, until Texas can really start running the table, they're good for a couple of Big 12 losses and a letdown after an important win. They almost had that letdown last week against Wyoming. But those are just some of the college games, Jeff. There's a ton of games this weekend that are going to be great. It's going to be a great football weekend with high school and college football.
Yeah, and the great thing about that for Saturday, they're all spread out throughout the day. So it's not like it's four games in one time slot. I mean, you got, you know, the Colorado – Oregon game early, Florida State, Clemson early, and then just kind of trickle down the line. So it's exciting. And I think it culminates with, is Ohio State and Notre Dame, is that the primetime game? If I'm not mistaken?
Well, they're on NBC because it's the Notre Dame deal. The primetime, like the ABC or ESPN one you're talking about?
Yeah.
Primetime ABC is Texas and Baylor.
Interesting. I'm with you on that with Baylor. I know Texas, you know, they're getting a lot of love, especially after, you know, beating Alabama and Tuscaloosa, but they're laying in a lot of points. And so I think Baylor can keep it close. I don't expect them to beat Texas, but I think they can stay within the number. And I think Notre Dame beats Ohio State out.
They haven't beat Ohio State in like 100 years.
Yeah, well,
it's like close to 100 years.
that's insane. I mean, that is nuts. And I'm just going off of that because I like their quarterback better. I like Hartman better than McLeod. Now, McLeod did finally show something last week, and you know how much of a stud, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. is. But I just, you know, going on the road, hostile environment, with Notre Dame, the better quarterback. So, give me the points with Notre Dame there, buddy.
I'm going to ask you a question. You're tell me which is more surprising to you between the two things I'm about
Deion.
To say. No, that's not. What's more surprising to you? That Notre Dame has not beat Ohio State since 1936. When they won 7-2 in South Bend, or the fact that Notre Dame and Ohio State have only played each other 7 times in their history.
Wow.
They've only played each other seven times.
I mean, you have two historical colleges only playing 7 times in over 100 years. That's baffling to me.
Seven times.
Honestly baffling to me. Like, you would think that'd be like an every third year type of thing, but wow, I didn't know that. I mean, when you think about it, in my lifetime, I can't really think of a Notre Dame Ohio State game. When was the last time they played? You have that on top of your head? Are you looking at that?
It was last year in Columbus.
But prior to that,
obviously they did like a home and home.
Yeah.
Before that,
it's been a while.
But before that, it was two bowl games, both in Arizona. Surprisingly enough, they played in the Fiesta Bowl twice. 2016, they played in the Fiesta Bowl.
Ohio State won that game, right?
Yeah, they won both of those games. Yeah, Ohio State's on a 5-game winning streak, dating back to 1995. But they played in 2016 in a bowl game, 2006 in a bowl game. They played 95 and 96 in home and homes that Ohio State won, and then before that, they hadn't played since Halloween in 1936, and then November 2nd, 1935. Notre Dame won both of those games, 7-2 and 18-13.
Wow, man, that's insane. Pretty historic. That is insane.
And you wonder why all these conferences got like shelled by TV companies. They don't play anybody. They got to play better. I mean, all these games are like, you know, this one's obviously not a conference game because Notre Dame's not a conference. But all these big games we got this weekend, they're conference games. They're like, TV's basically saying, if you guys don't schedule anybody, we will schedule it for you by making you guys play in the same league.
Yeah.
They have. Indeed, have you ever checked out the website Winsipedia?
No.
Checked out the website Winsipedia. Was that the Winsipedia is a great website.
I have not.
I pull out the information. You can compare the two. You can compare the two teams. You can pick two college teams, right? You can compare the two, and then they have like, you know, their records against each other, and they compare the all time records and national championships, and they got every single game on there. And it's pretty funny. You see some really damning things on there, but you know, this week they got some of the marquee matchups. Alabama has only lost to Ole Miss 10 times ever.
Jeez.
They're 54-10-2. 54-10-2 Alabama is over Ole Miss. I mean, that to me is just insane. And we talk about like winning streaks. Alabama has beaten Ole Miss 7 straight times. And they've beaten Ole Miss every year, but twice, dating back to 2004.
Wow.
And one of those games,
that's crazy.
One of those games, Mississippi vacated the game.
Wow.
The most damning. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you're good.
No, it's off topic. Go ahead. Finish the.
Oh, okay. No, I was saying Ole Miss has a good shot this year. I mean, you look, Alabama's just offense does not look good. So I'm not saying Ole Miss is going to win, but this is probably as good a shot they've had in recent years in terms of actually beating Alabama just because of the struggles Alabama's had on the offensive side of the ball. Their offensive line is not really gelled yet. You know, Lane Kiffin's going to be out for blood and be highly motivated to kind of give it to St. Nick. So I'm excited for that game. I think Ole Miss covers personally. Now, do they win? I think Bama finds a way just because Bama and their culture, and it's a conference game, but I think it's within the number.
So Winsipedia is kind of like the Partleton sports website that I was talking about. The most glaring thing, the one I find it funny every year, is they talk about always like, you know, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. It's bedlam, right? It's the bedlam rivalry. It's such a great rivalry. It's a bedlam rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
My argument is it's not even a rivalry. And if you look
because
at
because Oklahoma whips the crap out of them every year.
If you look at the thing, guess if you don't already know, guess off the top of your head, like, you know, just to take a wild guess. What do you think Oklahoma's winning percentage is against Oklahoma State?
9-2-3.
No, it's less than that, but you're on the right track.
85.
808. So you're pretty close there. They are 91-19-7 against Oklahoma State all time.
Well, 91-19. But isn't it just automatic rivalry because of the location and geographics?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just that you're just kind of grandfathered in, I guess, so to speak, no matter how dominant or lopsided it is. I guess it would be the same with UCLA, USC. And now that's obviously been a lot closer over the years, and there's been pendulum swings. UCLA dominant for a while, then USC, and so forth and so forth. But it's not like a 90-10 like we have here, or 80-20 like we have here in Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. But yeah, that's, you would think there would be a period of time where the pendulum would swing a little towards the Cowboys, but not even with the Fighting Mike Gundys, they haven't been able to do anything with Boomer Sooner. So that's bad.
Three of those 19 wins have come since 2011.
Wow. Wow.
I mean, it's just like, it's brutal looking at it. And you go through, it's like a lot of these wins for Oklahoma State were back-to-back years where they're able to get some wins. I mean, you know, 1929 to 1934 must be the years that Oklahoma just doesn't talk about their football program, because it's tie 7-7 against Oklahoma State, 7-0 loss, tie 0-0, 7-0 loss, 13-0 loss, tied 0-0. Yeah, but anyway, you know, I don't need ESPN shoving it down my throat about how great this rivalry is when it's not really a rivalry at all. So
I think we need to define what rivalry is, because some people have the wrong idea of it. I'm with you on that, buddy.
Once we get to league play for high school, we can start breaking down the rivalries. What makes a good rivalry? It could be a nice little topic of discussion. Thanks to all of you for joining us. We're going to put a wrap on this high school football podcast. If you missed any of it, be sure to check it out on our website, 97throughthefansd.com. We'll have that fully posted tomorrow morning. The Spaces recording stays up, so if you missed any of it, you can go back and re-listen to it. Should be a great weekend of high school, college, and pro football. So get out there and enjoy it. You haven't been to a high school game this year, go out and see one. Highly recommend it. High school football in San Diego is always fun to be a participant of. So for Jeff King, I'm Braden Soprano. Thanks again for tuning into the podcast. Look forward to talking to you next week.
Thank you.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.